This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The legal standoff over Trump administration deportations to El Salvador has just been ratcheted up another notch. Correspondent Jared Hill has our top story.
Wednesday, a federal judge said there's probable cause to hold the Trump administration in contempt over the deportation of more than 200 migrants to a prison in El Salvador. The judge gave the administration 1 week to either come up with a plan to bring them back or name whoever refused his order to turn the planes around at the time. The White House planning to appeal the case while standing firm on the deportation of Kilmar Abrego Garcia.
He will never live in the United States of America again.
The administration has released a police report showing he was detained for loitering in 2019. Fed Chair Jerome Powell's issued a new warning about the president's trade war.
Tariffs are highly likely to generate at least a temporary rise in inflation. The inflationary effects could also be more persistent.
That could lead to stagflation, not experienced in the U.S. since the 1970s. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is weighing in after police say the man charged with setting fire to the governor's mansion talked about Palestinians and his hatred for Shapiro, who's Jewish, when he called 911 to identify himself.
Prosecutors will ultimately determine what motivated this. The district attorney and the Department of Justice can comment on that further. But right now, I think what we're trying to do is find the good in society.
Crews in Puerto Rico are racing to restore power after the entire island was plunged into darkness yesterday. CBS's Christian Benavides.
It's expected that it will take many days for electricity to come back to all parts of the island. Hospitals are running on generators. The governor, who was away on a personal trip, is now making his way back.
Hotels filled with tourists ahead of the Easter weekend also operating on generators. The cause of the outage isn't clear. A resentencing hearing was supposed to be held in L.A. this morning for Lyle and Eric Menendez, who hope to go free after they were sentenced to life for killing their parents in 1989. But the district attorney's office has filed last-minute paperwork asking for a delay so the judge can review the parole board's latest assessment. Defense attorneys claim the brothers acted in self-defense over years of sexual abuse. A homeless man in San Luis Obispo, California, has hit it big. He's won $1 million from a lottery scratch-off ticket. He bought it at Wilson Saman's deli.
He's like, oh, finally I'm off the street. I was very happy for him for winning that much money. He deserved every penny of it.
Dow futures are up 308. NAS futures ahead 186. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend part one with Visit Rome and part two, UW Extension, Wood County's Anna Mitchell. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Brewers tank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win. Next day, you have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball. The Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-seven playoff series in Green Bay. The NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. Those are the words of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York director Chris Columbus. He is referring to the 7-second cameo by Donald Trump in the film. Columbus wants the Trump cameo removed from the film, saying it's become a curse, and adding that the 47th president bullied his way into the movie, telling the production they couldn't shoot at the Plaza Hotel unless he was in the film. Columbus joked that if he cuts the cameo, he could be deemed not fit to live in America and deported. I think he was joking. Here's a quick pick. The show Mobland on Paramount Plus is pretty good. The Guy Ritchie directed show stars Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, and Thomas Hardy. It's a fast-moving mob caper that doesn't hold back on gang violence. It is shot with Ritchie's classic pacing, so even if there is a moment you get bored with, it's quickly over. I'm 3 episodes in, and we'll keep you posted. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little sunshine this morning, then breezy, mostly cloudy this afternoon, our high 62. Scattered showers, thunder showers later tonight, and a couple of those could bring some heavy rain with maybe a quarter to a half inch or more possible. 49 tonight, 64 with scattered showers tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll talk issues that matter to you with State Senator Sarah Kieski and also Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. Also the NFL Draft of the Packers. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin. What could be better? Life is good, folks. Hope you had a great day. Great to have you here tonight as we talk about the things that help us escape. And we all need that sometimes, even an optimist, even someone who sees the glass as half full like myself, we all need a chance to escape. And that's what we do here every night between 6 and 8. We talk movies and TV, comedy, music, fun Wisconsin stuff, what's happening in the hood, all kinds of good stuff. So great to have you with me on Wednesday. Great show tonight. Conrad, are you excited about this show tonight?
I am very excited.
I can tell. What excites you most about the show tonight, other than this basic chit-chat that we have every day?
Learning more about Dumb and Dumber, I think, you know. But no, also just seeing some other roles that Mike has played. I think it's going to be really fun to hear his experience doing these roles.
Very well said. Mike is Mike Starr. That is who Conrad is referring to. He is our guest at 6:35 tonight, an actor, very accomplished actor with a resume with about 300 film credits, and that's not even counting his TV credits. Mike was in Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas, Hudsucker Proxy, Dumb and Dumber. His credits go on and on. He's worked with some of the best directors and fellow actors that there are. So I'm excited to talk to Mike tonight. He'll be here at 6:35, and we will get to know him a little better. You know, I don't know if you guys remember this, but during Goodfellas, he was the one who masterminded or was the main connection to the Lufthansa heist. You ever see Goodfellas?
Never seen
it. Oh, my God. And they're like, how do we get past the guard? How do we get past the guard? De Niro says that, and Mike says, you're looking at him. It's me. He's great. So I'm excited to have Mike on the show. And then our pal Matt Miller stops by at 7:20 to talk about the Wisconsin Film Festival. It is a film festival in Wisconsin. The very well-regarded Milwaukee Film Festival, which I've had the pleasure of showing a movie there years and years ago. And I went as a guest a few years ago. It is just a magical film festival with some great venues. The Oriental Theater, I think they're using the Downer again this year. Great film festival. Matt is tied in. He's going to talk to us about that, and we'll discuss what we're watching when it comes to movies and color television. That's with Matt at 7:20. Matt's a regular. You guys know Matt. He's one of our pals. I think, you know what? We've been talking about, like on Monday, we talked about rom-coms. No, it was chick flicks. Last night, it was who's your favorite sitcom actress? So I wanted to do something that didn't leave the guys out. Let's try to do this. But that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, yeah. If you were the lead in a romantic comedy,
Who would you want to play your co-star? Men can choose a woman. Women can choose a man. Women can choose women. Men can choose men. However you want to do this, who would you want to play opposite you? And I don't, this is a good question because there are so many great actors and actresses, and I'm going back and forth as to whether or not I want to play someone who I think is pretty, or if I want to play opposite someone I have kind of a crush on, or who's a really great actor. Ideally, both. Initially, I might say Scarlett Johansson, or like maybe Rebecca Ferguson. She was in one of the most recent Mission Impossible films. I'm going to noodle this, though. I'm not going to commit just yet. Do you have someone in mind, K-Ray?
Yeah, yeah. I got... So the movie would be a rom-com.
Yeah.
And my love interest would be Kate Upton.
You know who I thought you were going to say when you said Kate? Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. Actually, though, I think if I did start any movie, it'd be a sports movie.
Okay. A sports rom-com, kind of like First Pitch or Fever Pitch or whatever that was?
No, more like, have you ever seen... No, you probably haven't because you don't like Adam Sandler. So I've
seen some of his films. I don't dislike Adam Sandler. I just don't go nuts over him like some people.
It would be kind of be like more like a studio documentary, but like a comedy, like kind of like sports movie.
Okay.
And I would love to have my co-star be Vince Vaughn. I think I'd laugh the whole time.
That's fair enough. And the question is romantic comedy. So you could be like his buddy in the movie.
Oh, it's a... Yeah. Okay, maybe I misread the... Okay. All right.
If just to reiterate, if you were the lead in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? So I am going to noodle this. Let us know what you guys think. Conrad's still struggling over there. He wants his co-star to be Vince Vaughn, with good reason.
I'll go back to Kate Upton.
Kate Upton.
Yes.
Okay.
With that, there we go. Who,
not to get after you, dude, but like she's not even really an actress.
Well, she's
I think that would be the least of your concerns.
She's acted before, you know?
Yeah, she was in the Three Stooges. We just talked about that. Yeah, yeah. She played a nun.
She did a great job in that.
She was good. She was a good nun. Unlike any of the nuns I remember at Catholic school. But yeah, okay, that's good. So Conrad says Kate Upton. What do you say? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know who you would want to play opposite yourself in a romantic comedy. Who do you want to be your co-star? I think my wife would pick Brad Pitt, but I don't want to speak for her. Maybe she'll text me during the show and I'll share that as well. I would say Scarlett Johansson is a safe bet because she's such a good actor. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of good... You could really choose. You have so much to choose from. That's a tough question. I'll say right now, my working list is Scarlett Johansson or Rebecca Ferguson.
Okay, McKinnon?
No. Not as the lead opposite me. I like Kate McKinnon.
She could be in the movie. She could be in it.
Sure she could, yeah. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even use a prosthetic if I was getting a job.
Well, I know I'm not watching that movie now.
Yeah. Keep the kids away from that one. Hey, this is some exciting news here at Civic Media, folks. We have a new news talk lineup here that started yesterday. We shuffled things around a little bit, and here's a quick rundown of what you can hear on Civic Media on a daily basis. From 5 to 6 a.m., the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. 6 to 9, you got Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, which we love. We had Christina Laurie on, and that was really fun. Pat does a great job. And he's a great guy. He's been on the show. We should get Pat on the show. He'll be on the network. But I think in Madison, John and Gordy will continue to host the Madison show from WMDX, the morning show. And then here on WGBW and WISS, you can still get Mino and the Mayor. That doesn't change. And then Matt Nair on Air takes over. Greg and Jane will be on from 9 to 11. From 11 to 2, it'll be the Tom Hartman program. Tom is coming back to daylight hours at Civic Media, which is exciting. 2 to 4, you got Todd Alba, our pal Todd. From 4 to 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. Everybody just bumping up an hour or two. And 6 to 8, no changes here at Nightlight with Peach Wabba. So it'll be, I'm glad we get to, they can't really put us any earlier. Yeah, or we can't use Nightlight.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll just be light.
Daylight.
Daylight with Peach Wabba, yeah.
Noonlight.
That will be the lineup, I should say, effective Wednesday the 23rd. So you'll still have kind of the same shows leading up to that. But that takes effect 1 week from today. All right. So at the in Marinette last weekend, there was a big pickleball tournament. And our pal Emerson Lehman, who will be on the show this Friday, took part. He loves to go up to Marinette and play pickleball. I had a chance to talk to some of the pickleball players and a chance to talk to Emerson. And here is my interview now with our buddy Emerson from last week in Marinette, Wisconsin, at the Community Rec Center.
Emerson Lehman, WBAY morning show anchor, pickleball player extraordinaire. We're in Marinette, Wisconsin.
Your hometown.
My hometown. You just dominated from what I saw.
I hope so. We're warming up right now. We're getting ready for our bracket, and there's some really good teams here. So hopefully we can dominate like we did.
And it's doubles?
What you just saw. Doubles, yeah, men's doubles.
So where are things at? What are your chances for bringing home all the marbles?
I'm playing with my partner that we won a big tournament in Green Bay a couple weeks ago. So excited about that. Got some momentum.
Nice.
But Zach Gonring's here. He's a pro. He's very hard to beat. A lot of really strong players are here.
Now,
so.
What makes him... I mean, he's a young, athletic guy,
yep.
It looks like. But why is he such a good pickleball
he's
player?
He's just so consistent. He does not make stupid mistakes like a lot of us amateur wannabes do every day. And he's just... He gets to every ball. You think you hit a winner, points over, ball comes back, and then you put the next one in the net or something. So it's kind of making up...
He's agile.
He's very agile, and he just keeps points alive.
He's a handsome guy too. I mean, you're a handsome guy too, but it's distracting
to play against. He's got some great facial
hair. He's actually not even that good. It's just he's distracting.
It's very distracting.
He lulls you into Is this a good place to meet girls?
I mean, it hasn't worked for me yet, but I'm trying. So yeah, we're working on it. But I mean, it's a good place to meet anybody.
Yeah,
you meet so many
great
cool people
here,
young and old. I mean,
the
age range in this tournament is like. I think the youngest kid was 8 years old, and the oldest people are probably in their 70s. Like, that just shows the range of pickleball and how many people are playing in different divisions and whatnot. It's a lot of fun.
But they break you down. You're based on ages. You're not playing 90-year-olds.
Not ages. It's a skill level. So, like, obviously the older people are playing probably a little bit of a lower skill level. I'm playing in the highest skill level, so we've got some younger competitors. But, it's they break you down by the skill. You kind of self-rate yourself, and you go from there.
Nice. So this is your, third time in Marinette?
Oh, I've been to Marinette quite a few times.
I come,
they have two tournaments every year. They have one in the fall, one in the spring, and I try and play in all of them.
Nice.
So they do a really good job of Brian and Kim Swenson. They run the tournament. They do a fantastic job. This is their seventh year doing it. I've been coming since I was working in Milwaukee. So I think it's probably my fifth time, fourth or fifth time up here. I come every chance I get. They do a great job.
What is your impression of our fair city?
I love Marinette. It's so much fun to come up here. It's cool. You guys got the lake right there.
Yeah.
So much industry going on. And I just, to have this type of facility, this rec center, in such a small town, I think is, you guys are just
we're very fortunate.
Spoiled beyond belief.
Yeah.
So it's, I love coming up here.
I donated, this is the wall of all the donors right here.
You're on here somewhere?
No, I gave them $3 and they said that wasn't enough. So I said, you know what you can do? You can go to hell. Give me my $3.
I think we should get a little sticker. I don't want you get you in trouble for vandalism or something. But yeah.
I think that's a great idea. You're coming on the show Friday, right?
Friday. I can't wait.
This will be
fun.
So pumped.
Yeah,
we're going to recap this whole thing.
I hope I have good news to share.
I hope you do too. It would be great to have a little celebration on the air for your good luck. Don't pull a hammy. Don't get a concussion. And no more fights on the court, okay,
I'm going to try my best. Sometimes the old folks, they get a little mouthy, so I got to keep them in their place.
You get them in a headlock. That'll get the message across.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, buddy.
That's Emerson Lehman. He'll be on the show this Friday night in studio. And when we come back, I'll have more highlights from pickleball in Marinette. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Starr coming up at 6:35.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
In 2024, a ballot measure to throw out Ohio's dysfunctional, politician-led redistricting process had its description rewritten by state officials to sink it. Now, Ohio officials are trying to sink two more measures they don't like, and the U.S. Supreme Court is now involved. Some background. Ohio's Fair and Truthful Ballot Measure Requirements allows the state to modify a ballot measure's description to make it more accurate for voters. But can it use that authority to manipulate the process and block citizens from moving their ballot measure forward? Organizers tried for 2 years to get the language okayed to gather signatures for the Protecting Ohioans' Constitutional Rights measure, giving citizens the private right to sue the state and removing the qualified immunity that police and government officials are currently given. While organizers have acted in good faith, Federal District Court Judge Karen Nelson Moore wrote that Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost rejected the proposed amendment language 8 times and found the reasons dubious. The 3-judge panel ruled 2-1 that Ohio was restricting organizers' speech and must approve the measure's description. But April 9th, Yost appealed to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh for an emergency stay of the Sixth Circuit's order, which Kavanaugh immediately granted despite the sketchy circumstances. We'll continue to watch this situation. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night on a beautiful, it's beautiful in Northeast Wisconsin. It's a little cold, but I think it's pretty sunny around the state for the most part. So I hope you're having a great night. Whatever you're doing, great to have you with me. Conrad is riding shotgun, ready to roll.
Always.
We've got our question of the night is if you were the lead. If you were the lead in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? So I said Scarlett Johansson or Rebecca Ferguson. Conrad said Kate Upton, fine actress.
Yeah.
And Chris from Janesville says, that's in the 608, he says, the lumberjack from Hundreds of Beavers. And then he said another text, he said, strictly platonic, LOL. Yeah, there's no judgment here anyway. You can play opposite anyone you want. I was thinking love interest, but it doesn't have to be. So, huh?
She, I believe Chris is a she.
Oh, she, I'm sorry. That's one of those names. I get in trouble like that. Yeah. Terry, Chris.
Conrad.
But wait, but Chris is saying the lumberjack. So I thought that meant when she said strictly platonic, I assume that meant Chris was a guy.
Well, now we're both confused.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Chris wants to be in a movie with
it's gonna happen, okay?
Rylan Brixen Twos, who's a very talented.
I got it wrong.
No, I'm a he. I thought so. Okay. Otherwise, the platonic thing.
I think there's another texter that had Chris. And,
that could be.
Got me all confuzzled.
We do
here.
Our best, folks. It's just great to hear from you. All right, so we've got some more highlights here from my weekend in Marinette, which is my weekend every weekend because I live there. I went over to the community rec center and talked to some pickleball players, and we've got that. It's kind of a long clip. It's a little over 3 minutes, but got a sense of some boots on the ground at this pickleball tournament and a sense that they were all having a lot of fun. Here are those conversations.
Gadish, how are you doing so far at the tournament?
We won all the games.
You won all the games. You're undefeated.
Yep.
Yeah.
So far. 3 games left.
3 games left, and then you're the champ?
Not yet. If we win all three.
If you win all three, okay. Have you ever gotten in a fight playing pickleball?
Actually, this morning. Other than that, never.
Like punches?
Not punches.
No.
I got scolded.
Got scolded? For what?
My wife was playing, and I think they took up a out, and then she called out. She looked at me. By accident, I said, but outside the people, they started saying, you should not supposed to win.
Okay.
But they made a call already, but I was just... It's a natural instinct, I would say. Right?
Of course, it's your wife, yeah.
Yeah. I have to go home. So.
Right, exactly. Can I suggest a nickname for you? Mad Dog.
I can't go with that one. My last name is Madhi Patla. Oh. People used to remember me as a Mad, so.
Yeah. All right, not
so
that
it's
one.
LA.
Well, I wish you luck. Good luck in the tournament today. Bring Mad Dog. Bring it home.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, bud.
No, the word in the street is, Zach, you're kind of the guy to beat here, and I would never say that in front of Emerson, though.
Yeah, I guess.
That was begrudgingly you admitted you're a very good pickleball player. Do you have a nickname for yourself?
ZG. Just my initials.
You need like a kind of a badass nickname though, right? Like
yeah, some people have gave me the nickname Sauce.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it strikes fear in people though. What about Cobra?
Oh, I like Cobra. Yeah, Cobra
See
sounds
if it
good.
Works for you.
Okay, okay.
Is pickleball harder to learn than ping pong?
I would say no. I think if you really want to, you can go pick up a paddle and just start hitting around and playing pickleball, and you're gonna have a great time.
Do chicks dig pickleball players?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Do they like pickleball players, or are they just like you because you're a good-looking guy?
I don't know.
I want to do some research on that. Lori Kellerwitz, is that a good pickleball name?
It sure is.
Is it one of those names where when you were born, your parents were like, she's going to rock it on the pickleball court one of these days?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Are concussions an issue?
Never. Never. We're nice on the court.
That's great. So you've never gotten in a fight over a line issue or anything?
Never.
Right.
Nope.
Have you ever wanted to, like, really tear into your opponent?
Once or twice.
What's the worst? How heated has it gotten during a pickleball match?
I don't think it gets heated with women as much as it does men.
Why do guys do that? It's pickleball.
Testosterone.
I know, but come on. Look at these guys. They're old. They're all going to... They're on the verge of pulling every muscle in their body. Stop with the headlocks and the leg wrestling, right?
Testosterone never goes away, though.
Settle things with a thumb war. Nobody gets hurt. Everybody walks away.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
My name's Carolyn.
How is Emerson? How is he a good player?
He is great. He was my partner last night, and yeah, we do pretty well together. He's a great player. He's very supportive, and he'll kind of hype you up when you need it.
Does he have a nickname?
I call him Emmer Sauce, but
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. He knows that.
Does he like that?
He never told me not to call him that, okay. So we'll say it's neutral.
Have you ever gotten in a fight on the court?
No, not a fight. I'd say there are occasional, like, line discrepancies, but I guess that's kind of any sport. You just got to kind of be honest. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever swear during the game? Have you sworn at an opponent?
I would say I more so swear to myself. Like, I'll be like, you know, kind of to myself if I miss or make an error. But, no, I don't think I've ever done it directly to an opponent.
Do you have a nickname? A pickleball nickname?
Oh, gosh. I go by my first name or the Flick Wizard. I don't know. I do a lot of scorpions.
I like that. How about the Golden Girl?
The Golden Girl. All right.
It doesn't really strike fear in opponents, though, does it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not really scary, but...
How about the Big Softy?
The Big Softy. I guess, I don't know. I'm kind of quicker at the net, though. I'm more of a... I'm not really a soft player, so...
Okay.
I don't know.
Great fun at the Community Rec Center in Marinette last weekend, and I cannot believe how crowded it was. Like, I got there and I'm like, I might not find Emerson here. And he's the one who told me about it. He said, hey, swing by. And I go over there and I barely picked him out and I watched him play for a couple minutes, but wow, it was packed. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is if you were the lead in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? Now, we've been posting the question on social media earlier in the day too, so you're welcome to answer there. Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother, our pal Eric, says, Kristen Wiig. But I'd never get a scene done laughing the entire time. Yeah, that's true. She's great. She had Bridesmaids, and like I thought that would catapult her to like serious movie star fame. And she works, but she's not, you know.
Like Heather and I were talking about last night, the Palm Royale that she's on.
Yeah.
Great. If you have a chance to watch that on Apple TV, do it.
Daniel Wheeler says, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. We'd have competing chili recipes in a small town cook-off and be surprised to learn our shared secret ingredient is love. I love Daniel's texts. Ezekiel Drews checks in on Facebook and says, Scarlett Johansson. That's my girl. And he says, or my wife, whoever would be most available to film. Probably your wife. But we'll have an arm wrestler or something, Ezekiel. But do I want to arm wrestle with the guy who played Ed Gein? I don't think so. All right. Actor, the legendary Mike Starr will be here after the news. We're going to talk about his career and find out what he's got going on. Matt Miller here at 720. So great to have you with me here on this Wednesday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. A federal judge finds probable cause to hold the Trump administration in contempt for deportation flights to El Salvador. As for the mistaken deportation of a Maryland man, White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt.
Nothing will change the fact that Abrego Garcia will never be a Maryland father. He will never live in the United States of America again.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell warning President Trump's tariffs could lead to higher inflation and slower economic growth.
These policies are still evolving, and their effects on the economy remain highly uncertain. As we learn more, we will continue to update our assessment.
Crews in Puerto Rico are racing to restore power after the entire island was plunged into darkness yesterday. CBS's Christian Benavides.
Currently, all hospitals on the island are operating on generators. So are hotels. The governor, who was away on a personal trip, is trying to make it back to the island.
It's the second island-wide blackout in less than 4 months. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers tank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win. Next day, you have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball. The Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series in Green Bay. The NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX, with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little sunshine this morning, then breezy, mostly cloudy this afternoon, our high 62. Scattered showers, thunder showers later tonight, and a couple of those could bring some heavy rain with maybe a quarter to a half inch or more possible. 49 tonight, 64 with scattered showers tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll have Joe Zepecki, our weekly state capitol report, and see how the Brewers are doing after playing 3 at home against Detroit.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is if you were the lead in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? We've had some great answers so far. Dave checks in on the stream and says Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates, of course, I mean, she's been in other movies, but I know exactly how old Dave is now just by his choice, because I'm assuming he watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High, like me, thousands of times. Not just for Phoebe Cates, who was great in the film, but that's a great answer. And we've got Scarlett Johansson, I would say, is number one so far. Right, Con?
I don't know.
What is this Pringles thing? You sent me food and wine, Pringles, Miller. Summer. Is this a joke, though? Like hot dog water?
That's completely real.
This is real.
Yep.
Pringles releases two new summer flavors. Beer can chicken. You know, that actually sounds kind of good. What's this other one? Grilled beer brat. How do you... Why don't you just have a beer brat and then eat a plain Pringle? Don't you get the same effect?
You know, sometimes you just gotta go for what you want.
I knew you'd take their side. All right, that's
good. It's cool that Miller Lite has a Pringle, I guess.
Conrad's mom checks in with the question of the night and says, Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. He was a heartthrob. How old is your mom? Like 40s, 50s?
Early 30s.
Yeah, of course. I didn't ask how old your sister was. Paula, that's a great choice. And you can watch him in Mobland now. He's in Mobland with Tom Hardy and Helen Mirren. And they're great. It's good. Guy Ritchie directs it. It's really a good. The pace is great. Really good show. Barb from Waukesha says, I've been a Brad Pitt fan ever since I saw him in Thelma and Louise. I knew we had to hear Brad Pitt at some point tonight. Great choice, Barb. I mean, I like Brad Pitt, too, as an actor. Steve, Conrad's dad, checks in and says, Kirstie Alley would have been a great female star. Didn't your dad say something about Kirstie Alley last night?
Maybe. Because, the sitcom.
Are we calling Mike, or is he doing StreamYard? I think Mike Starr, let's call him. I'm going to send you his number.
Okay.
Supposed to be getting another link right now.
So, yeah. Sorry. I think it was in regard with Cheers, maybe. Something about Cheers with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, no problem. All right. Mike is waiting. I'm going to send you Mike's. Let's call him because I think he's having an issue with the StreamYard link. So I will send you his number. That's right. But he's obviously a fan of Kirstie Alley. And then, you know, if during the break, if we want to try to get Mike back on StreamYard, we can do that. But let's just get him on the show because I'm excited to talk to him. All right. Conrad is going to give our 6:35 guest, Mike, a call, and we'll be off to the races here. There was a funny story. My wife, I think I've told this actually before on the show. My wife was such a fan of Brad Pitt. She bought, when he was in Interview, he did an interview with Vanity Fair. And my wife, he was on the cover when he did Interview with a Vampire. There was an interview in Vanity Fair. So my wife picks one up on the way home. I had just flown back from somewhere doing comedy, stand-up. And I'm at O'Hare, and I grab the same copy for her. So I get home. Basically, she has two copies of a Brad Pitt Vanity Fair. So I was like, okay. So my sister comes over a few days later, and I give her one of the copies. She's like, oh, is this the Brad Pitt interview? I go, yeah. I said, take it. We got two of them. So my sister Molly takes one of the Vanity Fairs, and my wife gets home, and she's like, where's the other Vanity Fair? She was mad that I gave it to my sister. So I'm like, we had two copies of the magazine, but Brad Pitt is on the cover. My wife obviously was working towards wallpapering our bedroom with Brad Pitt on the cover of Vanity Fair. So that is how Brad Pitt affects, well, women in my family, my wife and my sister. She got mad at me. We had an extra copy. All right, we have Mike, Conrad. Awesome. All right, it is my pleasure. ladies and gentlemen, to welcome my next guest. He's got about 300 or so movie credits. He's been on TV, all this stuff. Some of the biggest movies of our time. Films like Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas, and Dumb and Dumber. The extremely prolific Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy. Sorry, I'm the old excuse. I feel like a Progressive commercial here, though, but I'm trying to get on camera here, but I think we'll fix that during the break. Here,
yeah. Oh, it's just,
so I apologize.
No, not at all. Listen, it's great to have you. I'm going to start not with a showbiz question, Mike, but just an ethnicity comparison. I don't hear, like, I grew up in my neighborhood in Chicago. Everybody was Irish, Italian, Italian, Polish. On your Wikipedia page, it says Irish Polish. And I'm like, oh my God, finally another guy out there that has the same description as me. So I'm thrilled to talk to you just for that alone.
Well, I grew up in a wonderful city housing project in Queens. Oh, and wow. We had all sorts of people. And my grandparents on my dad's side were from Poland. They came in and I didn't speak it only because my dad grew up in a small town in Massachusetts, but I do have Italian relatives in Boston from my dad, my uncle Ray Panatti. So that was an influence on me. But I came from a very mixed neighborhood that was one of the best places, ideal places to grow up in Queens. And my mom's side was the Irish Catholic side. So I know you get a lot of people out in Chicago who are Polish background, but there were very few other people, except we had a great neighbor, my friend's mom, who was a survivor from, and she was from Poland, and my dad used to speak Polish to her, but I didn't hear it spoken unless we went to Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
And I regret that I didn't learn it. I've tried to learn it a few times, but I did study Italian, and my friend's dad was like a godfather to me, and he would give me all sorts of Sicilian culture. I mean, I had all sorts of different ethnic groups in my neighborhood of every kind. And eventually, even there was the United Nations area where I went to grammar school. And then a few years after we were married, friends of mine got me into that neighborhood. So I've liked that kind of mix of influence. And then when we had 11 years after we were married and had three kids, we had to move to the Bronx. My friend Jack McGee helped us get up there, if you know him, the actor, right? He was a fireman at that time. And that was it was interesting. It was an Irish and Italian neighborhood, but Irish-American, Italian-American, a lot of old school, but also Ireland, Irish people from the other side, from all over Ireland, and a lot of people from southern Italy, some from Rome. So as far as blood, now I've been doing those ancestry what is it?
23andMe. Yeah.
I even have a slight percentage of Northern Russian, Scandinavian.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, look at you.
All over the place in Europe and Eastern Europe. So, I guess sometimes they cast me, but people remember things. It's funny, like in Goodfellas, someone would say, you played a mafia guy. I said, no, I didn't know. Some place said it's security. I said, no, that was an ad lib. That was an improv talking about the security in the area when Robert De Niro set me up at that softball, which was so great. He said, what's security? And it just came to me, say, security, you're looking at it. He was an air cargo supervisor, and he was authority to the one security guard that was a wannabe military guy. If you read the book, it's great. Nick Pileggi's book, Wise Guy.
Yeah.
So he was a symbol of that to him, but Frenchie was half Irish American and half French American.
Okay.
So people, you know, a lot of times that you play, sometimes it'll be, hopefully I'm convincing in a few other ethnic groups, and sometimes. It would be really funny because I've been fortunate to work in the theater in New York, but I remember first going out and the public theater, this part for a Polish, no, you can't play Polish, no. And someone would say, oh, you're totally Irish, and someone would say, you are so Italian. You know, your name is Starini or Starino. And then, people would say it was translated Yazda, which means star in the sky, if I'm pronouncing it correctly with my limited knowledge of it. But I guess my dad added an R to the star.
Yeah.
And then Aside from that, yeah, I've had people. I remember I've had in an airport, Israeli fellow started speaking Hebrew to me, thinking I was Israeli. You know, we were talking. Wow. He was telling me about his toothache. So I've studied a few different backgrounds, and you know, I guess it's the East European thing, and I don't know. Sometimes they allow me. I play Irish.
Well, it's funny because my sister, Julie, connected me with you, and you used to see Julie at the Smokehouse in Burbank, one of my favorite places when I lived in L.A., and I thought one day I want to have a production company, and I want to call it Smokehouse Films because I love that place. It's so old school, and it doesn't surprise me at all that you hang out there because you're like an old school guy.
Well, I go to see one of my best friends in the world, our friend. Julie's great friend Gary McMillan, who is one of the Mighty Carson art players,
great guy.
And he's got that celebrity bartender type of thing where he's got a following. He's done so much TV, theater, and film, but he's been at the Smokehouse quite a while behind the bar, and it's a show, you know.
Yeah.
But I think someone else beat you to the Smokehouse Films. You know that during ER, George Clooney, among other people, and George recently came back. I think he and Matt Damon threw a party there. It's a real classic fixture, the Smokehouse. I don't drink, so it's not like I'm a bar hanger out. I go see him, bring a bunch of friends, and then they have it goes back to, I believe, 1946 and 1947. And if you look at sometimes George Clooney, you'll see on credits Smokehouse Productions,
because
George Clooney used to habituate the place quite a lot and bring a lot of people there. And there's been, I think recently Gary said, some film wrapped, and I think 100 people came walking in at like 9:30 at night
from the show.
So it's right across the street from Warner Brothers. But I like to go see Gary there, and it's a great place. And it's a central meeting place. A lot of times friends of mine in the business or just in the area, we all hook up, say, well, let's go to the Smokehouse. And you'd be surprised who's there a lot of times.
It's a great place. You mentioned your time in Goodfellas, Mike. And I love the enthusiasm with what you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him. It's me. It's like, I tried to imitate you earlier, and I don't think I did. I didn't do it nearly as well as you would.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hipp, the wonderful actor and brilliant musician and singer, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. And I said, I called it an ad-lib. He said, it's improvisation. And that was really worked out, that scene. And whatever research I had from Frank Silvero, who played Frankie Carbone, and on the character, and reading Nick's book, and there was a detective who helped me with things. And it was quite a process that Martin Scorsese did put us through over a few days, and a great process that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing? Hey, you know,
right.
People walking in saying, hey, you go. And I was actually fortunate enough to be on the set when Joe Pesci did Funny Like a Clown.
Nice.
I think I came for wardrobe or something, or maybe to rehearse or something I had to do. And it all just kind of came. Certain things kind of came, and it was due to the... I mean, everyone put their, their work in research, but it's also the preparation that it looks so off the cuff because at first Martin Scorsese just had us work together and even brought me in a day before and he said, I want you to talk to Bob, about the, I said, really? And I went in, and of course De Niro was super gracious and cool, and we discuss things, and he would do and ask questions. He's not a very controlling person that way. He lets people flower if hopefully they have the goods, as Martin Scorsese does. And I had a humor relationship, not only with Bob, but with Martin Scorsese. My best relationships in film or theater, whatever, have been based on, offset comedy. Not like, hey, here's a one-liner. But
hey, Mike, can we pick up right there? We got to do a really quick break. I would love to hear the rest of that, though. Let's pick up with that.
We're going to try to get on camera now?
Yeah, let's try to do that, too. Why not? What are we doing here, right? All right, Mike Starr is here, folks. We're coming right back with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here. I am Pete Schwabe, your host. Our question of the night is, if you were the lead in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? Jim from Appleton says, the person I would want as my co-star would have to be Jennifer Lawrence. Nice. Excellent choice, Jim.
Great one.
Great one. I didn't even think of her earlier. All right. This is exciting, folks. Mike Starr is here. Legendary Mike Starr with so many credits. He's been part of such great movies. I think we got him on the stream now. So if you're watching on the stream, you can see Mike. Wow. A lean, mean fighting machine, Mike, if I do say so myself. Wow. That's impressive, dude.
The comeback trail here.
Yeah.
Reinventing myself.
I love it. It's great to have you here tonight, and I'm glad we got the stream figured out. But stream, phone, it doesn't matter. It's just great to talk to you.
I just want to say quickly hello to them with my family, my kids and grandchildren out in Chicago and Naperville, and my friends, Drew Moran's family out in Minnesota, John Bream, my childhood friend. Who else? We got Wisconsin, Todd, who trains the Bosa brothers. He may not be out there, but his family's out there, and Who else? Who else? So I got it. I just wanted to make sure. And Coley from Galway in Chicago and all my friends. I spent the greatest times of my life in Chicago, some of the greatest times, and have a whole world there. So I just want to make sure I got that. Tim O'Brien from VNP, the Chicago hot dog people.
Oh, that's a great place. Well, thanks for getting the word out. That's fantastic.
No, I have to.
Yeah.
You got the world of when the iconic place Stanley's, God rest his soul, Donnie Cruz and Chef Luigi from Francesca's, which my son still does a stint there every now and then. We have so many people that is a couple of friends that are not around, but Stanley's, that's how I met Chris Chelios and Ryan Dempster and all these people.
Wow. Wow.
It was a whole great world out in Chicago and Dennis Farina and Joe Mantegna, who I'm still in touch with, Dennis Farina from Chicago, and some of the best experiences. I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. So many really great times and great experiences. And I was fortunate enough to work there. And my wife also, UIC, but also University of Chicago, the Children's Hospital where she was a pediatric heart surgeon. So
wow. Oh my gosh.
There's quite some interesting times and a history for me in a very special place. So I wanted to say that.
Fantastic. You might get a kick out of this. Dennis Farina was my Little League coach. His son Mike and I were classmates, and he and my dad were the coaches. And I ran into him a few times out in L.A. Just had really nice talks with him. A good guy.
One of the greatest guys ever. Yeah. God bless. God bless.
So I wanted
I'm sorry.
To...
So but I oh, was yeah, talking about the comedy
yeah.
that Martin Scorsese, I guess I was lucky every time he did a trivia thing or asked about, because I spent time, you know, old films, what we would call old films, but the respect he has for it, but even TV and comedies. And every now and then he would just quiz me and I'd be lucky to answer. But a lot of that improv came out of a freedom. You know, we would just work together. And then all of a sudden, you know, Ray would say, oh, I have to get this line in, whatever, you know. And on top of that, then we went with department heads, you know, the cinematographer, et cetera. And then finally the whole crew, and then we did it. So it wasn't like we just walked on that. That's why I want to give so much credit. It was like you felt so free. And then when you did it, hey, feel free. So one take, I said, the commandant, I called myself. And Martin Scorsese said, he said, Mike, the commandant. I said, well, it's 1968, height of the Vietnam War, because the Air France heist was the one that Frenchie
right.
was the main guy in before Lufthansa 10 years later, which I snuck in a lot. I have a thing about improvising correctly for the period if I'm lucky and fortunate. And I just said, well, you know, that my generation grew up with World War II films and you know, The Great Escape and Stalag 17. Yeah. There was always a commandant in charge of the, you know, the prison. So he says, I love it. Keep it in. But that for him. So enough of that. I'm sorry. I'm yapping too much.
This is great stuff. And we have about 2 minutes to a break, and I'm hoping we can keep you through the news. Then we'll have a nice chunk
anything
of time.
You want.
All right. Fantastic. I did want to ask you though, and I'm kind of embarrassed because I've seen Goodfellas about 20 times. And after the Lufthansa heist, all these guys, De Niro or Jimmy Conway, starts bumping people off. I don't remember. Did you get whacked after the Lufthansa heist?
Yes, and it kind of insinuates that it was De Niro's character, Jimmy Conway, and then Jimmy Burke. And, you know, I'm not quite sure if he left it open, like, well, was it them or was it the... was it the higher ups with Paul Sorvino plays? What was it, Paul Dario?
Yeah.
So I'm not speaking history because I don't know. But you kind of leave it there. Is that what's happening? Was it that? I mean, but I was in the dumpster. Remember the Layla?
Oh.
Rolling over.
Yes.
The
okay.
First three times I was blinking and everything. We had me, Juan Caserta and I and. And we even had my great stunt double, Skeets Don Picard, and Nick Giangiulio did Clem. But we did most of our stuff. But, you know, and then Don looked over me because it was quite an interesting situation. It was a gigantic dumpster. The stunt coordinator was Mike Russo. And it was lifting into a hopper, which you don't see. And the camera was in the hopper. And he showed me that the blades weren't on.
Oh, man. That's
first three
great.
I was blinking like, ah. But, yes, and we were covered in all the blood. And that, I believe, the first week we did all the death scenes. You got them all out of the way. Johnny roast beef and the pink Cadillac. That's like 7 hours. Right. I mean, that's how explicit Mike Ballhaus, the cinematographer, and of course, Martin Scorsese, how explicit and detailed as Robert De Niro, and everything he does is so detailed. There's little points where I could tell you sometimes that you knew that they just picked up things that were just so you may not even notice. And my big ad lib in the Lufthansa improv was when we're playing the bowling machine to open it up. I said, Louisiana Lightning for Ron Guidry in 1978, even though
all right.
I was in the Yankees.
Mike, we got to do the news. We're coming right back. Mike Starr is here. He's staying through the news. It's yeah. Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're hanging out with Mike Starr on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz is in the guest co-host chair with me. We go deep on Trump's constitutional crisis and is Abrego Garcia alive? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You believe in miracles? Yes! It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New pushback over President Trump's tariffs stateside. Governor Gavin Newsom's announced a lawsuit claiming California stands to lose billions of dollars.
The impacts on the budget of this state are already being felt, and the full impacts have yet to be fully felt.
Newsom is contesting the president's use of executive authority without congressional approval. The Fed chair has issued a new warning about tariffs and possible outcomes. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Jerome Powell tends to be very tempered with his language. So to hear him say something like persistent inflation, it's not the first time we've heard him say that. But the fact that he's getting more comfortable, certainly investors didn't like it.
Futures markets are higher this morning. Ford says it may raise prices on new cars if the president's auto tariffs continue. That's according to a memo sent to dealers reviewed by Reuters. The car maker is offering